Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Vav. We're holding three or four lines, this is the last word, four lines up from the bigger lines, the wider lines. And we got up to Vayirdof Ad Dan. So remember that what we learned yesterday was that the reference in the World War that Avram Avinu fought was also the way. And this was a theme that we had pursued last night over a lot of the sugyas, was that all of the issues that we look at in this perek are looked at as historical repetitions. In other words, they're sort of a normal story in which all of the different elements are found in all types of different situations of the same general types. If we're talking about the idea of Geula, then the elements of the Geulas Mitzrayim will show up. They'll show up again and again. They'll show up in Purim. They'll show up in Gog u'Magog. They'll show up even in incipient Gog u'Magog, such as the story of Sancheiriv. And this is even down to the details of the ambience of the Geula, or whether it's Aniv Elo Malach, or whether it's Asher Hitalalti. Anyway, so we were talking about the way in which the description of the army of Sancheiriv was exactly the same as the description of the army of Gog u'Magog, or as the description of the army that attacked Avram Avinu at the time of the Arba Malachim. So once we talked about that, we also spoke about what it means when it says that Avram Avinu himself was attacking the same lotion of Vayechalek Aleihem Laila. So what does Laila mean? So yesterday we saw that there were all types of, again, repetitions, the same way that we had in the Milchama with Sisra, where it says Nilchamu HaKochavim Misilatam. Here too it was also Mamasa Laila. So every last element of Yeshua and Nisim in the context of Yeshua and Geula, we find Merumas throughout history. That was the last thing that we learned. Now, once we talked about that, so then we go back to examine a little bit of that First World War, and we take a look at Vayirdof Ad Dan. So it says that Avram Avinu was, when he went out on the offensive against those Arba Malachim, so he chased them all the way till Dan. And why was it Dan that stopped the war? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Givan Shabo Tot Tzadik Ad Dan, when Avram Avinu got to Dan Tashash Kochot. Why? Because Ra'ah b'nei v'nav sh'atidim la'avod avodah zarah b'dan. He saw the way that his children were going to be worshiping at the time of the horrible agolim that Yerovam put in Dan, where it says, Vayasem et hecha b'beitel et hecha natan b'dan. So because of that, he felt a sense of weakness and hopelessness, and because of that, he wasn't able to fight beyond Dan. And it's interesting that here, too, it's amazing that we find Nebuchadnezzar also gaining his strength when he came to Dan. Afotora shalom nitgaber achi giyala Dan, shenema midan nishmana haratzusav. Amazing. So the same, even ad kedekach, in terms of Zechus and Ovein, is also merumas throughout history. So this was Nebuchadnezzar. And this, of course, is very, very, right now, strongly juxtaposed to the story that we just heard of Sancheiriv, who was going to be able to destroy Yerushalayim, and it was Od Hayom Benov Lamod, and at the last minute, we were able to be Nitzal through the Tefillos of Chizkiyo and so on. So why is it that Nebuchadnezzar actually succeeded? And we kept saying that this was, you know, if you're going to be worried about something, says Yeshayahu, don't be worried about Sancheiriv, be worried about Yirmiyahu's Nevi'ahs, which is about Nebuchadnezzar. That was the Laish that we were referring to, of Allah Aryeh Misupcho. Omer Rebbe Zera, well, I'll tell you. It's true that we're supposed to be very careful to give the proper respect to people that are tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, and they come from a people that are very, very much the opposite. So if you find that Hitler has a great-grandson in a yeshiva somewhere who's giving a shir, you're not supposed to say anything that would be in any way deprecatory about him. And we have this all over the place. We have Rabbi Akiva, and we have even Shmaya v'Avtalion, which were the whole basis of the continuation of Torah. I mean, these were people that came from the most awful people. I mean, this was, Shmaya v'Avtalion were actually from Sancheriv. You know, we have Rabbi Akiva. All right, we don't want to talk about all of the places where these people came from. But they come from Haman and come from the Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you're not supposed to say anything bad about them. But even though that's true, so there were things that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra actually gave over to be very careful about, because people, they actually are not careful. So for instance, you find sometimes a Talmud Chacham who, because of old age or because he became ill, wasn't able to chazer, so there's a lot of sugyas that he forgets. Sometimes even there's a damage to his brain from old age, and people start making fun of him. Oh, he's got Alzheimer's, whatever. And they no longer give him the respect that once upon a time he had. So even though Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said, look, you better be very careful about that. If it's not his fault, you have to continue giving him the same derech eretz. And remember, we learned this out from the Luchos HaBris, where we have the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos in the same Oron. That's why we refer in Yiddish to Talmud Chacham that is suffering from Alzheimer's, and we go Shivrei Luchos, we call it. And Hizaru Bevridim K'Rabbi Yehuda. Another thing that was sent in that message by Rabbi Yehuda Becerra was that it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. They have to make sure that you cut through the vridim, which are the blood, the main blood passage on the side that normally, when you cut through the throat, you would cut that, but not necessarily would you cut it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, be careful if you're talking about a shrita of a bird. Make sure that you cut it. Why? Because very often you actually will roast a bird whole, and there won't be an opportunity to get rid of all of the blood that's been absorbed inside unless the blood is allowed to pump out at the time of shchita, when the heart is still pumping. So Rabbi Yehuda said that since it's very common to find a bird roasted whole, so make sure that you cut the vridim. And even though that's a das Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra pointed out that this is a very important halacha, and that's how we paskin, you have to be careful. And the important thing that we're talking about right now is Yizaru b'vnei amei ha'aretz shemehem tetze Torah. And that is, even though it says amei ha'aretz, it really means the children of tremendous Rishayim, and don't treat them with less respect, because you can often find that the most important G'dolei Torah are people that came from the most awful places. So even though he said, make sure that you give them proper respect and don't mention anything bad to them, but there is something that you can tell them. Ki ha milta moti'inan lehu, what I'm about to tell you, which you would think would be somewhat insulting to these people like Shmaya v'Avtalion, you can tell them and you should tell them. And here is the drush. It says in Yirmiyot, tzadik ata Hashem ki arive lecha. Look, I know, Ribbono shel Olam, this was Yirmiyo doing a little bit of an Eli Wiesel stint, in which he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I know if I actually took you to court, you would win. So obviously, you know, the justice is on your side. But I must say that in terms of understanding what you do, I don't know what the heck you're doing. So I'm asking you these questions just so I should try to understand a little bit better, if you could explain to me. I would speak to you directly the things that I would like to say in taking you to court. Namely, Madua Derech Rishayim Salecha. How is it that these terrible Rishayim, how is it that they get away with it? Shaluko Bogne Baget, the most treacherous people are the ones who end up having times of tranquility. Nita'atem and Gam Shorashu and Yelechu Gamasuperi. Not only did you not get rid of them, but you actually implanted them and they took root, and they even produced beautiful fruit. And so we find that we have children and grandchildren that are tremendous Torah leaders that come from the people that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and want to destroy Klal Yisrael and so on. Now, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer? Yes. The Beis Din Shamala, a little bit later, it says in the Pasuk, which you may not realize is an answer, and the Gemara is now explaining, actually addresses the question. So Maya Hadrule. Kiet Raglim Ratzta V'Al Ucha. It's a beautiful, beautiful pasuk that, unless you have the background of what the Gemara is explaining, doesn't make any sense at all. It says, okay, you were taking this race with regular runners, people who are used to running, V'Al Ucha, and they left you behind in the dust, you know? I mean, you were totally gave up. So now you think that you're going to compete with horses? And in a place where you were in your own element, you know, in a land where you have everything on your side, and they still outran you, and they still left you behind in the dust. So how in the world do you think that you're going to be able to make it while trying to chase through the Jordan River? You know, you're going to be in the middle of the Yarden. And if you can't make it on the highway, I mean, you think you're going to make it against the flow of water in the Yarden? It's ridiculous. So what does this pasuk mean? So, mashallah adam echad she'amar. So, you know what? The pasuk means like this. A person goes around and he's telling people, oh man, I am the world's greatest runner. Yochal ani larut shalosh parasot lifnei asusim ben bitzei hamayim. I could run ahead of horses for 3 parsa'ot, that's like 12 kilometers, and they would not be able to catch up to me. And I could do this even in the middle of a swamp. Anyway, see, while he's doing his little run, you know, on the nice, beautifully cemented path through the park, and he's bragging like this, all of a sudden this guy who's a good runner passes by him. Right? And he's, oh my gosh, you're claiming that you can catch anybody. So this guy, who is just a Ragli, you know, and he starts running. So the guy's not going to let this Ragli get ahead of him. So anyway, they're on this nice cement path and he goes 3 mil. Forget about going all of these 3 parsaot, which is 4 mils apiece. Okay. So a quarter of the distance that he claimed he was going to be able to outrun a horse, he finally gives up, and he gives up, and this human runner gets ahead of him. So people said to my big fat mouth, if you can't even keep up with a human runner, you're claiming that you can get ahead of the horses? You can't even do 3 kilometers, you know? So now you're going to tell me that you're going to do shalosh parsaot? Alachas kama v'kama? And if you can't run better than this on a nice concrete path, you're going to be able to go through a swamp? It's absolutely ridiculous. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yirmiyahu. You know, Yirmiyahu, you know nothing about nothing. Look, you cannot believe that just because of the fact that this jerk, Nebuchadnezzar, he ran 4 steps in order to do kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, he was able to survive and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and so on. So just imagine, if you're talking about the sachar, when it starts, see, there's no sachar in this world. So you haven't seen anything yet, buddy. But just imagine if that's what goes to Nebuchadnezzar of Russia. Imagine what's going to be when it comes to the time when I'm able to give Sachar to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. They ran like horses, and they ran like horses that were Ben Bitzei Amayim. So they went as if they were going against the current the whole time, right? You guys, you're sitting there like a bunch of spoiled brats, moving with the current. Everything's in your favor. You can't even get up in the morning to daven at nights, you know? Ridiculous. So you're wondering about Sakhar. Let me tell you something, man. You ain't seen nothing yet. Alachat kama v'kama. And that's why he actually responds after he realizes this Yirmiyo. He says, my God, when I thought about this, I knew the chtiv, lanavim. When I started to think about what the Sakhar would be to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Nevi'im Lefanav, I mamish was so awestruck by this. Nishbarli bibikirbi, I couldn't even talk. Rochvu kol atzmotai, I was trembling all over. Hayiti ki'ish shikor, uchegever avoro yayin. I was like drunk and I was like high. Mipnei Hashem, umipnei divrei kacho, thinking about what would be actually the schar of a Ben Yisrael, I was totally bowled over. So now, now that we see that there were four pesiot, I would like to have a little background on this. What actually was the story of these arba pesiot, these four steps of Nebuchadnezzar? Where did Nebuchadnezzar take four steps? So where the Meister was like this, and this takes us back all the way back to the time of Merodach Baladan, way before Nebuchadnezzar became empowered in any way. And it says over there that Shalach Merodach Baladan ben Baladan Melech Bavel Svarim. So it's so weird. We can't imagine what the heck is going on. It says that Merodach Baladan, who was at the time the head of Bavel, and he sends a whole Megillah with a bunch of gifts to Chizkiyahu. Why? Because Vayishma ki chala vayechazak. He heard that Chizkiyahu had been ill and that he ended up getting better. What? The king of Bavel sends a whole thing of diplomatic entourage because Chizkiyahu was sick and he got better? This is supposed to make sense. Mishum ki chala vayechazak shadar leisvarim u'mincha. Says the Gemara, yes, because you're not reading the whole story. In Divrei Hayomim, where it talks about the same, the Svarim u'mincha, it says that the reason that it was sent was lidrosh ha-mofet asher haya ba'aret. There was an incredible sign of a mofet. And what was this mofet? So what happened was, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, when Achaz, who was Chizkiyahu's father, died, on that day, the sun set early. 10 hours early. So the whole day was only 2 hours long. Why was that? This, of course, is part of the Gemara that we were talking about before, and, about different cases of space contraction. And we talked about the spatial contraction. Here we're talking about the time contraction. And we'll find also that there's a series of different events that have to do with time contraction. So what happened was, in order, min hashamayim, that Achaz should not have a proper funeral and should not have any hespedim and should go to the grave mivuzeh, the sun set 10 hours early. It was pitch black and they had to just throw him into the grave and do what they could. Everybody ran home. So now that those same 10 hours that were lost when Chizkiyahu was sick, and he got better, and he asked for this oath that he's going to get better. Adrino kutubrichul anachas shoy nyale. Those 10 hours were given back to Chizkiyahu, because it says beferish in the pasuk, hinanime shiv et sel hamalot asher yoda b'malot achaz b'shemesh achoranit eser malot matoshev hashemesh eser malot b'malot asher yorada. So eser malot means 10 notches. On the sun clock, which are, of course, 10 hours in their terms of shos manios. So these were 10 hours that the sun, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ma'alot, meaning the shadow of the sun on the sundial. So I'm going to put it back in the other direction. And now we're going to get 10 extra hours. It's going to go back down again. So people all over the world obviously noticed that the day is 10 hours longer. So Omarlo Sumrudach Baladan asks in his palace, does anybody know what the heck is going on? Omrulei Chizkiyo Chola Shvitbach. This was assigned to Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. So Merodach Baladan says, Ika Gavra Kiyai, you mean there's a man like this in the world that the sun changes for? V'lo b'ino l'shadri l'shlama. Don't I have a chiv to give kovet to a person like that? So he has the secretaries write this beautiful letter to Chizkiyo, and that's what he sent him together with this gift. So he writes, and this was his secretaries who, worked out the exact girsa, Shlam al-Malka Chizkiya, Shlam le-Karta di-Yerushalayim, Shlam le-Elaha Rabba. So, in that order, greetings to Chizkiyo, greetings to Jerusalem, and greetings to the great Lord. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar at that time was an employee of the Malchus. He was the secretary to Merodach Baladan. So he was a young guy, and he was on vacation at that moment. And he shot to Lo'avi Hassam. So he came back from his weekend trip. He hears about this letter, and he asks the people in the front office, you wrote this letter without me. Tell me exactly what you wrote. Hechikativai. So they said, what we just said in the Gemara, Hechikativai. He said to them, you guys are insane. Karita le'yaloh rabba, v'kativit le'yaloh b'sof. You're calling out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great God, but you mention him after you talk about Chizkiyo and after you talk about Yerushalayim. Where's your brains? Oh, God, so they say, so what should we write? Write a new letter. It should say, Shalom le'elaha rabba, shalom le'karta di Yerushalayim. And at the end, you put Chizkiyo. First, you put the Shem Hashem. Then you put the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And then you mention the guy who happens to be king now. What kind of idiots are you? Anyway, so they said to Nebuchadnezzar, look, if you want to fix it, Karyana de Garta, you will have a parvanka, the same Gemara we had before about Pinchas, remember? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, look, if you're reading the letter, go and deliver it, So Nebuchadnezzar starts after this guy, and he's running, and he starts to run after he ran he was going to run forever. He didn't care. But after he runs these four steps, and he was stopped because Gavriel was concerned that if the Nebuchadnezzar would get a schar of more than four steps, that would destroy Klal Yisrael. So the same way that he was stopped from saying all of those incredible shiris v'tishbachais, it says he would have overshadowed David HaMelech with his tehillim. This guy was quite a guy. So Gavriel was concerned that he would have overshadowed the schus of Yisrael with the Mesiras Nefesh that he had for the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gavriel stops him from running after these four steps. Now, I have to tell you that when I was a kid, my father Zatzal told me, you always, when they would take the Sefer Torah, so everybody would push in order to get to the Sefer Torah and kiss the Sefer Torah. Kids love to run up there. So my father Zatzal told me, listen, the real chiyuv over here is you're supposed to do three steps, because Nebuchadnezzar went three steps in order to be mechabed the Torah, in order to be mechabed the Shemot Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to do at least what Nebuchadnezzar did. More than that, you're not mechuyuv. So when I grew up, I never understood it. The Gemara says four steps. Why does he say three steps? But it turns out that in the Zohar, it actually brings the same story, and it says it's three steps, and because of that, when we go forward to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah, we always take three steps. So we go backwards to be able to walk three steps if we don't have room in front of us, three steps. So apparently, it's not so poshut. This is, we do that at the beginning, we do that afterwards, we go backwards. It's always three steps that are the sign of covet. So seems to be something of a machlokas, or maybe the question is how to measure those steps. Is it full steps? Because when you take the three steps, the first step forward is sort of a half a step. So the question is, how do we look at that as a whole step? I'm not sure what the machlokas is, but anyway, halacha l'maisa, we certainly do three steps, right? Okay, so Gavriel stopped him. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, if Gavriel had not stopped Nebuchadnezzar at that point, lo ayata kanalis oneyam shel Yisrael, we never would have been able to recover. He would have completely destroyed us at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, yes. Where is our youngest participant over here? I noticed that things are going to pot. First of all, she's being fed milk instead of boost, and then she's allowed to do just 10 push-ups. So what's happening? You must be in South Africa, where everything is done with half steps. Yeah, what were you saying, Barnea?
She was marginal the pumeg this Gemara. I think, if I recall correctly, from the author of Slabakta, the impact of small actions. He only took three steps, four steps.
Yeah, this was a very big thing of all the Bali Musar, yeah. This is brought in all the early Musars for him, this Indian. I'm not surprised, thank you. Anyway, this guy, this Baladan, it's very strange the way his name is mentioned. Merudach Baladan ben Baladan. What do you mean Baladan ben Baladan? He had the same name as his father? Like, what did that mean exactly? So the story was like this. Baladan was the actual king of Bavel. And he became affected by this skin. Well, I don't know, his skin, it was a deformity. That his face grew into the shape of a dog, a dog's face. So he's like an elephant man kind of guy. And he couldn't show his face in public. And so because of that, his son Merudach, he became the king. But because of the covet for his father, whenever he would sign his name, he didn't want to just sign Merudach ben Baladan, because then it wouldn't be a covet. Everybody signs their name the way they're called up to the Torah, so that doesn't mean anything. So therefore, he incorporated his father's name to say that I am Merudach acting as Baladan. Now, this was a tremendous covet that he gave. We found the same thing happens with Yotam. Wow. Lavdil in Yisrael. And that is a remez in the Posik. Hanuch dichtiv ben yechabedov. Ve'eved Adonav. So that pasuk is actually a reference to even the way that Merudach Baladan. So Ben Yechabed Av, that is referring to this story. And Eved Adonav is talking about the way that Nebuzaradan was Mechabed Nebuchadnezzar. It's an amazing way. It says in the pasuk that Bachodesh HaChamishi, Ve'asor Bachodesh, so this is all the story of the Churban in Yirmiyahu. So it was in Av, the Shnat Tsha Esre Shana, Lemelech Nebuchadrezzar, Melech Bavel, Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim, was being omed lifnei Melech Bavel b'Yerushalayim, v'yisrof et Beit Hashem v'et Beit HaMelech. So this was on the 10th of Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was finally destroyed, and this Nebuzaradan, he was standing in the presence of the king of Bavel, Nebuchadrezzar. But the problem was that that's not where Nebuchadnezzar was. Because when he saw Nebuchadnezzar in Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar didn't go to Yerushalayim at that time. It says, Beferish, that when they took Tzidkiyahu and they were bringing Tzidkiyahu to Nebuchadnezzar, they brought Nebuchadnezzar to Rivla. And Rabbi Abo explained that Rivla's in Barnea's neighborhood in Antukia, but Antukia is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So there's some utaina that all of Barnea's neighborhood has a din of Eretz Yisrael. But this Gemara obviously doesn't hold to that. So if he was in Rivla, so how could it say that he was actually there in Yerushalayim with Nebuzaradan? Doesn't make any sense. So clearly, says Rav Chisda, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi, there's different explanations to what it actually means when it says that it was in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar. So one of them says that Nebuchadnezzar was so meaningful to Nebuzaradan that he had an actual image of Nebuchadnezzar that was Chokuk Lo El Markavto, and when he would go to war, it was as if he was standing in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar himself. V'chanomar, others say, the other says it's not that he had to actually have some physical memory of Nebuchadnezzar. He had such incredible awe of Nebuchadnezzar, Ema Yiterai Talomimenu, that it always seemed that he was standing in the actual presence of Nebuchadnezzar. That's the level of Emas HaMalchus that he had. Man, oh man. We should only have such Emas HaMalchus, huh? But anyway, you see what it was to have Eved Adonav. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so where's my covet? This is pretty much of a taina. Oh, my Rava. You know, the way that Nebuzaradan, he was terrified also of attacking Yerushalayim. So what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar had sent him to Intlat Meakudnaita Narga de Parzala, the Shalit de Parzala, Shadalai Nebuchadnezzar Nebuzaradan. So Nebuchadnezzar had sent 300, remember that the Gemara says in Chulin that 300 is always a Lashon that's used when you want to talk about a large amount. It doesn't mean literally 300. So there were 300 loads of special steel axes that were able to crush metal because they were made out of an alloy, and he sent these special axes to him to use against the gates of Yerushalayim. He tried using all of those 300 truckloads on one gate of Yerushalayim and didn't do a darn thing. It was as if they were swallowed up in the gate. Kulu balatinu chadash at Yerushalayim. He used all of his weaponry against one force field in Yerushalayim, and he couldn't even budge it. Because that's why it says, Pituchea yachad bekashil v'chalefot yahalomun. So he was, oh my gosh. So he realizes he is up against something that is supernatural. So he wants to leave? Forget it. So Boilam Hedar, he's going to go back to Bava. Because he says, you know, if this is the way we're starting over here, I'm going to end up like Sancheriv. You know what happened to him? I better get out of here while the going's good. So Mistafina de lo lavdu bi, ki echad avdu bi Sancheriv. Nofka kalav yomar. So a voice comes out from the Shemayim to encourage him that he should bedafka go and destroy Yerushalayim. And it said to him, listen here. You are a shavar bar shavar. You're a guy who jumps into fighting the way that another guy, meaning the same way that you went the first time, you were with Sancheriv, and you were ready to jump into battle. Like we said before, remember that the survivors, this we had as the Kabbalah that we had as the Gemara, that Nebuzaradan was there. So you at that time were ready to go into the doing whatever you needed to do, and you survived. You survived in order to be the guy who jumps into the fight. Now, this time, you're going to win. The Mata Zimna, the Mikdasha Harif. The time has come. At that time, when you were with Sancheriv, it wasn't time for there to be a Churban. But now, it is the time. So he had one single axe left from all those 300 truckloads. So he figures, okay, I'll try this one. I'm not going to go more than this. And I'm not going to use the front part of the axe, the sharp part. If this is really meant to be a supernatural destruction, I'll use the back end of the axe. So he takes the axe and he hits it sort of timidly against the gate of Yerushalayim with the back, and the gate shatters, right? So, Otamachi Bekupa V'Yiftach, sure enough, Shinemar, Yivada, Kemevi Lamala, Bisvach Eitz Kardumot. Now, Lamaisa, some Taina that these two psukim became reversed in the Gemara, because it doesn't make sense. The lashon of this pasuk is a lashon rabim of a lot of kardumot, right? So it should have been the first pasuk where we heard about this attempt to use all of these kardumot, and we simply canceled them. But then when the one of them held, that makes more sense to say the first pasuk, which is Pituchea Yachad Bikashil. So that would mean it was Kashil even with a single hatchet. And it talks about over there with just not, it doesn't mention anything about sharp things. So it makes more sense that it was actually reversed. Okay. But the idea is clear. So anyway, they go ahead and they get into Yerushalayim and Avikotav Yozel Adamate Lechola. They're killing, massacring as they march in towards the Heichal. And then he puts it on fire, Adik Beinura. So what happened is that the Beis HaMikdash begins to lift up and to take off with, as if it were all rocket powered. And it's now going to go back to the Shamayim because the Malachim wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be saved. So they simply started lifting it up. And at that point, Dorchu be min shamaya, min ha-shamayim, they stepped on the Beis HaMikdash, forcing it back down so that it should be destroyed, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to actually see to it that it was destroyed. And that's why it says, Gat Torah Hashem lebetulat bat Yehuda. It was as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was treading on grapes, and this is what was done to the Psulas Bas Yehuda. So now this Nevuzradan, he starts thinking that he's a great man, you know, because Zecha Daite. So he becomes Chutzpanyak. He thinks that he is the one that is being successful over here with his brilliant strategies. Navka Batkol, so Basko comes out and says to him, you fool, Amakatila Katalta, you've murdered a nation that's already dead, because they're Rishoyim and they're considered to be Mesim. You burnt a building that was already burned. Hey, Chola Kalya Kalita. You're sitting here grinding flour that's already ground, and you're putting it through again, and you're lifting up your beautiful big muscles that managed to grind all the flour and not the grain. It was the kemach that you were tochein. Shenema, kichi rechaim, go ahead. Take yourself a rechaim and grind flour, you fool. So that's the idea of Galit Samatech, Chasvi, Shovel, Galishok, Ivri Naharot. It's all a bunch of garbage. These are all these women that the Pasuk is referring to, is these whores that were just, you know, exposed. That's all that you're doing. So you opened up your hair, you exposed yourself, you exposed your thigh, and so on and so forth. You're doing nothing. But notice that it doesn't say, go ahead and grind wheat. Chitim lo nemar. It says, go ahead and grind the flour. So that was the message to Nevuzradan. So, okay, he comes in to the chotzer, the Beis HaMikdash. And Chosidome de Zecharia d'Avi Karatach, he sees this blood is boiling up from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. And this was horrible, horrible story, because this was Zechariah, who was the son of Yehoyada Kohen, and this was Yoash, was the one that was Mamish. He survived in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was only, was Mamish, an incredible nace. Yehoyada used to be the one that saved him, that taught him until he was 6 years old, and then that led him out. The whole story of Yoash. And then they murdered Atalia. And it says that he was a tzaddik ko yamav as long as he was still under the tutelage of Shilimdo Yehoyada Kohen. And then when that horrible story came up and they persuaded Yoash like an idiot that because he had lived in the Beis HaMikdash, he must be a god of some kind. I am telling you, we are all insane, us humans. I mean, it could be someone who lives in the Beis HaMikdash, learns from Yehoyada Kohen. Gavi can come to the grave and can visit you. And what is it that you end up believing about yourself? God help us. You must be a god. Meshuggah Welt, I'm telling you, it's endless. Anyway, so they actually, in the most incredible treachery, so the Melech has Zechariah, Yoyada's son, murdered in the Beis HaMikdash. So he's a Navi, and he's a Kayin. This is centuries ago, you understand. By the time Nebuzaradan was there in the Beis HaMikdash, it was close to 300 years after this mace had happened. And it was as if it had happened that morning. So the blood of Zechariah is bubbling up from the floor. So he asks the Kohanim, what the heck is this? So they say, oh, this is a place where there were so many karbones that were brought, you know, spilled over here and it's been absorbed into the ground and now it's coming up. Says Nebuzaradan. I don't believe it's as simple as that. Let's bring animals here of these karbones and let me compare the color of the blood and see if it looks the same. So I say, Ve'anas say, bring me some blood and I will do an analysis. Imid me. So they shechted animals, but lo idmo, sure enough, there was no way to mistake the blood for animal blood. So Nebuzaradan said, okay, either you're going to tell me what this is all about, because I take this as a message. So either Galuli, you're not, then we'll start taking your blood with iron rakes. And we'll just keep raking you till there's nothing left. So I'd advise you to move now. Omrele, well, the real story is that this is the blood of a man who was a Kohen and was a Navi, and he told us that this day was going to happen. Inviluli Yisroel b'churbana d'Yerushalayim, and they killed him. Says Nebuzaradan, so I am obviously being called upon to be mechaper on his blood. So anam b'faisinale, so I'll appease his anger. So he brings all of the Rabbonan, he brings the Talmid Chachamim, and he massacres them right there in the Beis HaMikdash, but the blood kept coming. Velonach. So then he brings all of the Cheder children that are learning Torah, he massacres them, the blood doesn't stop. He brings all the Pirchei Kuhuna, the young Kohanim, the beautiful younger Kohanim, Pirchei Kohanim, murders them, Lonach. Until finally he had killed Tishim Verba Ribo, close to 1 million people he had killed over this, and the blood didn't stop. So he begins to feel a sense of terror himself. So he goes over to the blood and he says, Zechariah, Zechariah, Tovim Shebami Baratim, I've taken away the best of Klal Yisrael. What do you want? Nechalach Dakalinu Lekulo, you want me to destroy all of Yisrael? At that moment, the blood stopped. And at that moment, Nebuzaradan was shaken to the core. Here, here, Teshuva Bedaite, he says to themselves, so this is the same Gemara that we had 5 minutes ago, but in the inverse, to make a kal v'chomer of what type of onesh a person can suffer. He says to himself, if because of the death of this one person, Zechariah, this was the onesh, close to 1 million people. So Ahu Gavra, referring to himself, what's going to happen to me? Mat Avialai. At that moment, he ran away from the war. Shadar Portita Levete, he sent over a document, a legal document, giving away, you know, all of his property to whoever he wanted. And he became a ger and disappeared. Vidgayer. That's how it was that the children of Nebuzaradan ended up being, this is how we started the whole story. Remember, the sugya began by saying that even though Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra had said not to put down and to be careful to be mechabed those people who come from these Rishayim, and how you what you're supposed to tell them is that they need to realize that they didn't come from nowhere. They can think that they can lord it over their parents too. You know, well, yeah, I had Rishayim, but I managed to be the great man and I came back. It's not so simple. If you are a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, the reason that you're so successful is because your father walked those four steps, you know? And every one of these people had some zechus. Your father ran away, great-great-grandfather ran away and became a Geret Tzedek. And even though his whole life had revolved around Nebuchadnezzar, he left it all behind and became a ger to Klal Yisrael. You understand what that means? So Tana Rabbanan, Naaman, he never became a ger mamish, but he became a ger toshav. Nevuzradan became a full ger tzedek, and he was a mekabel on himself all of the Tayag mitzvahs, as opposed to Naaman, who just promised Elisha he's never going to do Avodah Zorah again. That's a ger toshav. Mibnei Bonav Shel Sisra Limdu Tera B'Yerushalayim. This incredible Rosha of Sisra in Canaan. And he was, he was the one that his mother, his filthy mother's mouth, that becomes the mocker of our 100 Kailas every Rosh Hashanah. We remember this Rosha and his family. His children ended up teaching Tera in Yerushalayim. And this, even though we don't want to say it, but this is referring to Rabbi Akiva. And Mibnei Bonav Shel Sancheirev, they taught Torah in public all over. That's Shmayev Avtalion. Shmayev Avtalion were mamish makaras of Torah for the Dereis. These were people that had come from Sancheirev of all people. Maniu Shmayev Avtalion. Mibnei Bonav Shel Haman Limdu Torah Bivnei Brak. We had people that came from Haman Arasha and elsewhere. It says that this is talking about, the Gemara didn't want to say it. I don't know why, it's brought that it's a reference to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. But in any event, apparently the Gemara only wanted to talk about Shmai Vavtayim because everybody knew Shmai Vavtayim because of that whole scandal of Dugma Ishkua and so on, which became an insult to Shmai Vavtayim. So we wanted to make sure that everybody understood this. And the same thing was true about the children of Nebuchadnezzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the children of Nebuchadnezzar, meaning his descendants, should become tzaddikim, end up becoming Talmidei Chachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous, tremendous opening. The Maharal explains that wherever there is greatness, that greatness is never one-sided. It can't be one-sided. Remember we had before where the Gemara says, Min HaShamayim, there's no half measures. If someone is great, he's great. And that greatness has got to be let out somewhere. L'tov and l'ra. So all of these people, these were ingenious people with tremendous kaychas. So that Nebuchadnezzar Arasha had within him the poetry of a David HaMelech, the power of a Mashiach, the same thing as Bilam Arasha. All of these things are never one-sided. And so Mamela HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take the keach that had been given to Nebuchadnezzar and that Nebuchadnezzar had attempted to use L'teva, and he was prevented by the Malach to stop him so that he shouldn't be able to hurt Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to actually import those keches into Klal Yisrael. And that's the whole meaning of Gerim. These Gerim are there to bring in entire nations into Klal Yisrael. That's why it's so important that to the point that the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael was only sent into Golis in order to be able to import those keches into Klal Yisrael. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the children of Nebuchadnezzar to also to become the Gedalei Torah that would be teaching Klal Yisrael from Babel. And the Malachi Ashores were outraged. Omru Malachi Ashores, Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, you can't do this. Mishech Rives Beischa, Visaraf Esecholcha, Tachniso Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. It just doesn't make sense. Hainu Dichtiv. That's what the Pusik is referring to, which Papashtis doesn't make sense in Yirmiyo. It says that we would have refinu et Bavel, the Lonit Papata. In other words, we would have been Merapa Bavel by importing its keches into Yisrael, but it didn't work out. Why didn't it work out? Because the Malachi Ashores didn't allow it. And who is this referring to? Ulamar, that's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, which had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eitzah, to be able to bring Nebuchadnezzar into Yisrael, it would have actually healed the whole problem of Bavel, which of course goes all the way back to the time of Nimrod HaRasha. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar, that's not what it's referring to. When it says Ripinu et Bavel, it's referring to the Naharot Bavel. And that's referring Davka Tirgama de Tziniata de Bavloi. We know the famous Tziniata de Bavloi, remember in the Gemara elsewhere, where we're talking about the idea of Levaya. This was an amazing Gemara. That is it true that Hani Tziniata de Bavloi are here from the time of Adam Arishan? This again, as I said to you before, all of the Midrashim that we're talking about here can only be understood fully if you reference them across the entire Shas and all of the Midrashim. It begins to be clear what's happening. These are not just random mentions of things and of places and of events and of history and so on. They form an incredible picture of interrelated points that you can only begin to perceive when you see the interrelated points. So it's referring over here to the Tziniata de Bavloi. Those are special trees of palm trees for dates. And they never actually were able to produce proper dates because the water that they were growing from was salty. And when it says Ripino et Bava Volo near Pata, that's what it's referring to. That according to this, there's no way what it's saying over here. This is a reference to Al-Nahariz Bavel, actually. So this, even whatever they'll do, they will never be able to fix those Nahariz because of this fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not allowed to fix Bavel, and the Malach HaShariz put up a fight. And because of that, today, you see that Bavel suffers terribly, has no water, and it's becoming worse and worse as the crisis of water supply in the area of Bavel is astonishing. It's becoming almost unlivable, and this used to be one of the most fertile places in the world, because it's called the Fertile Crescent, remember. Omarula, Amon and Moab, Shiva ve Bishid Yerushalayim have it. You should know that Ammon and Moab are the worst kind of neighbors that you could possibly have, because they were the ones that ended up getting Nebuchadnezzar to come and attack the Beis HaMikdash. Because after the story of Sancheriv, you'd have to be crazy to want to attack Yerushalayim. Sancheriv already made it very clear. There is nothing about this place that should put off anybody who is relying on the strength of arms. It's a joke. Some little town, I don't understand. This is supposed to be a place that you got to use nuclear weapons on? And it turned out that it was hopeless. You couldn't do a thing. So nobody was going to attack Yerushalayim. The Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have attacked Yerushalayim. But what happened is that Ammon and Moab, who lived right with the Jews, right next door, and they knew what was going on locally. So they would hear all of the Nevi'im that were saying how terrible Klal Yisrael was acting and how there was going to be a churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So give it the Shamanu, the Nevi'im. So they hear the Nevi'im that are Misnavim, the churban at Yerushalayim, and they're ready to be destroyed. So they write messages to Nebuchadnezzar. Now is the time. Now is the time. Come here. So poke Vita, leave Bavel. Come here now, because now is your big opportunity. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, was properly terrified. And he said, are you kidding? You know what happened to the people before me who attempted to destroy Yerushalayim with all of the shtuyot of come now, come now? I ain't going near the place. Same thing could happen to me. So they send him back. This is the psukim from Mishle. So they sent him back. Ki ein ha'ish beveito. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not home. So this is the whole story in Mishle, where we're talking about a woman who is committing adultery, and she's trying to persuade the adulterer to come into her house. Don't worry, my husband's not home, and so on and so forth. So we are understanding that that pasuk was a remez of Shlomo HaMelech to this story, that Ammon and Moab were claiming that the man is not home, meaning the Balabayit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavayochol, has left Klal Yisrael. And he's gone away. What is the Ish? Well, we know, Hashem Ish Milchama. So the word Ish is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what they were saying. The Ish Milchama that you're so afraid of, he's not home. So Shalach Luz and Nebuchadnezzar writes them back, which we understand from the continuation of the Pasuk, Bekirva Uva'ati. Look, what do you mean he's not? He's not home doesn't mean anything. He always pretends not to be home. The moment that these guys do tshuva and they start crying out to him, all of a sudden there he is. I ain't going near that place. Bekirva Uva'ati, he's always close and he'll come. So they sent him, no, Halach b'derech mirachok, which is, of course, the next words in that pasuk. So obviously there was some back and forth over here where they're still trying to persuade Nebuchadnezzar. He's not nearby. He went far away. Shalach lo, so Nebuchadnezzar says, look, even if what you're saying is true, and these Jews are horrible, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's given up on them, there's always these tzaddikim. These tzaddikim, they come, and they're mevakesh rachamim, and just one of these guys could save the whole Klal Yisrael. I ain't going near the place, I'm telling you. He's the tzaddiki, the bo rachamim, and they're going to get him to come back. So then they said, the continuation of the pasuk, so it just keeps going on, and we understand that these psukim are all interrelated. So the next pasuk says, Tzrora kesev lakach biyado, l'yoma kesev yavo beito. Now he took away all of this. Again, the simple meaning is that the balabayit that you're afraid of to come and commit adultery with me, he's gone far away. He's taken all of his money bags, and he already appointed a time in which he's going to be coming home. He's busy out there in the fair trying to do business. Believe me, he ain't coming anywhere soon. So what does this mean in terms of the way we're darshaning the pasuk? That sholchulei tzrora kesev lakach biyado, the tzrora kesev always refers to tzadikim. Because in Kesev Ela Tzadikim, because we see in other places, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was referring there to exactly the same kind of marshal, where there he refers to Klal Yisrael as being a wife that ends up committing adultery. So over there, it says, Ve'echrali, I took this wife from me on the 15th, meaning on the 15th of Nisan, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it says over there, Echoli b'chamishah sar kesev, v'chomer sa'orim, v'letach sa'orim. So this is a chomer and a letach together is 45 sa, a chomer shloshim, and a letach is half of that. And that's why the Gemara is derish, that there's mem hei tzadikim that keep the world going. Sometimes shloshim kan, and Chamesh Yisrei in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes vice versa. Anyway, so these are the Kesev. And now they're writing to the Nebuchadnezzar saying, he took the bag of Kesev and he's left town. So Sholach Lahu, so the Nebuchadnezzar sends them back a message. Okay, even if he took away all of the Rishayim, you know these crazy Jews, these Rishayim can do Teshuvah. And all of a sudden, now they're the tzaddikim, and they'll bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back, you know? I ain't going near the place. Stop trying to persuade me. So Hadre Rishi B'tshuva, Ubo Rachmi U'maisile. So they send him back. Liyoma Kese Yavola Veto. He's only going to be coming back at the time that he already booked a flight. So Kvar Kavala Hem Zman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already koveya the time in which they have to be in Bavel for 70 years. It's the time they go. You have nothing to worry about. He ain't coming back. He already committed himself to this flight because kesa means the zman. It's like a moed. Nemar b'kesa liyom chagenu. Sholach Luz Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, but look, you know, it's teves. This was, remember, that's when Nebuchadnezzar ended up coming. Sorba Teves is when he made the siege of Yerushalayim. Teves is the middle of the winter. I ain't going to come in the middle of the winter and get bogged down, you know, in Russia's snow. I mean, forget it. You know, other people made that mistake. You haven't heard about them yet. But I'm not going to do that. So I can't come in the winter. I'm afraid of Lamatzina Da'asi, Mitalga, Mimitra. It's going to be snow. There's going to be rain. I mean, the Hermon, all my soldiers are going to be up there on the Hermon, you know, skiing. Nobody's going to want to fight. And so he says, they send him, listen, all you need to do is you go through to Ashina de Tura. What you should do is you go along the bottom of the mountains, and that way the mountains are protection for the valley. So when you travel, you're not going to be very affected. The rain falls on the other side as the clouds lift up over the mountains. And the valleys in between are dry and much warmer. That's the way you should go. Shenemar shilchu har Moshel eretz misela midbora el har bat zion. So shilchu, in other words, they sent to the Moshel Eretz, meaning they sent to Nebuchadnezzar, was at that time the greatest power in the world. It was a superpower. And say to him that what he should do is, Misela Midbara al Harbatzion. So if you go by these, even the dry area that is next to the Slaim, then he will be able to get to Tzion. Shalach Lohu. So he sends back, look, Iatina, I mean, I can't, what am I going to do? I can't build bivouacs now. What am I going to do with my whole army? Leslie Duchta, the Ativna Bay, I can't have any place. Shokhle, are you kidding? Place? Man, you ain't never seen luxuries. The kvarot shelahem are mu'uli miplaterin shelcha. The beautiful kvaros that they made all around Yerushalayim, they are so lavish. All you need to do is throw out the dead. You'll take over these kvarot, and they're going to be more beautifully appointed than your palaces. Believe me, you got nothing to worry about. Come and have fun. Dichtiv, ba'et ahinu mashem yotziu et atzamot malchei Yehuda. So this was also part of Yirmiyahu's Nevi'ahs, that at that time that Nebuchadnezzar comes, then the bodies of the malchei Yehuda, Vetatzmot Sarav, Vetatzmot HaKohanim, Vetatzmot HaNeviim, Vetatzmot Yoshvei Yerushalayim, they'll be taken out of their graves and thrown out on the field. Shtachum LaShemesh V'LaYarev L'chol Tzva HaShamayim Asher Ahivum. These were what they loved, was to worship all of these absurd suns and moons and nonsense. V'Asher Olchu Achareihem. So their punishment will be that their bodies will be scattered out on the field. Whew. Yeah. Heavy duty, let me tell you. Okay.
I reach on some even with ancient writing. I'm surrounded with these kings.
Do we have any remaining lavish caves? Tell us. I'm giving you a Pesach. Pesach le Pitra, and he doesn't say, he doesn't take it.
There's a... It looks like it's a building, but it's carved out of the mountain. It's a mausoleum, and it has two big giant windows. The Gavi Barkai says it's a word, like cursed be the open this grave. It's called Kevrabaspara. It's Kevrabaspara that we don't know, but that's an example of something very well sculpted, and also what's called Kevrazacharya. Kevrazacharya might be by Jamie, but Kevrabaspara is definitely by Shrishon, and the whole side of the hill, which the Arabs built onto, they have their living rooms and their houses. I think it's 55 caves that were counted, maybe 53, by David Ashishkin shortly after the Six-Day War.
Wow. Amazing. Okay, thank you, Reb Arnea. All right, everyone. May we be zeicher to see, once again, the glory and the lavishness of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh and the fall of all of the Oivim Misaviv. Kol Tov, Besorot Tovot.